Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
It's my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert, my heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Can you thank God for the Word today, everybody? Just give Him a big thank you for the Word. Amen. Well, we're in a series called The Promise with More Blessings Than Any Other. And there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. Did you know that? Over 7,000. So if I'm where you're at, and I brought my family to church today, and I hear the pastor say, I'm going to share with you today the one out of the 7,000, that if I'll do that, it's connected to more blessings and benefits than any other, I'm in. I'm not going to scroll on my phone while he's preaching. You know, St. Louis has developed a really powerful skill. They can sleep with their eyes open. Anyway, I find that fascinating, 42 years. But anyway, I would be listening if the pastor, the speaker said, I'm going to share with you in the next 27 minutes the one promise out of the 7,000 that if I'll do it, it's connected to more blessings and benefits than any other promise in the Bible. And that promise is simply the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And it's really important for you and I to understand this is a golden nugget. It's powerful. And you got to put on your spiritual hat or you'll miss it. It'll go right over your head. All of God's provision comes through His promises. All of God's provision comes through His promises. So if I don't know His promises, I can't claim them. And I have to claim them to receive the provision that's in them. Does that make sense? In other words, we sang a while ago that God meets all of our needs. That's Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God will supply all my need. Now, that's a promise. But just because He promised it doesn't mean it will come to pass in your life. I have to know how to claim it. I have to know how to partake of it, draw from it, and receive the provision that's in that promise. God doesn't provide for me through His promises just because I need it, want it, beg for it, or desire it. I have to know how that when I find a promise, I have to know how to pull the provision out of it. Just because He promised it doesn't mean it's going to fall in our lap. Does that make sense? We have to know how to claim a promise, receive that promise, walk it out, and all that is in that promise become yours, okay? So the promise we're looking at is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Now, the fear we're talking about is not negative. It's not being afraid of God. It's not being angry at God. And I can really help a lot of people today who might be angry at God. You're angry at God because maybe He didn't do something you thought He should do when you thought He should do it. We've all been there. Maybe you're angry at God because you had to go through the divorce. You had to deal with the sickness. You had to deal with the layoff, the setback, the disappointment. We've all been there where we've been angry at God. But if you stay angry at God, nothing gets better. It only gets worse. You've got to learn how to walk through that season of anger and blaming God. We've all been there. But I'm not talking about being angry at God or afraid of God. I'm talking about being at awe of God. So the fear we're talking about is a healthy fear. It's reverence, it's respect, it's honor, it's putting Him first. And that's what you all are doing here today, right? This is the first day of the week, and you're putting God first. You brought your family to church. So you are walking in the fear of the Lord by doing that. So you can claim these benefits. Is that okay with you? So let's look at it. This is King Solomon, and he was the wisest man, the richest man that ever lived. And he said, let us hear the conclusion, bottom line of the whole matter. And look at the screen. It's to fear God. It's to fear God. It's to put God first. He comes before our children, our hobby, our career, our likes, our desires, our dreams. He's got to come first. And when we put him first and we worship and reverence and lock into him, and he comes before anything else, we're walking in the fear of God. And it says here that this is the whole duty or purpose of humankind. Now, let's look at the paraphrase amplified and look at the screen. All has been heard. The end of the matter is what? Fear God, which means to revere. Didn't I just say that? So I'm telling you the truth. It means revere, worship him, know who he is, keep his commandments. So to fear the Lord, it means to keep his commandments. So obedience is fearing the Lord. It is being a hearer and a doer of scripture, is walking in obedience. That's another venue of walking in the fear of the Lord. So he said, bottom line, fear God, revere, worship him, know who he is, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty, original purpose of creation. And by the way, you and I are his creation. We didn't come from a blob, and we didn't come from a monkey. You are made in the image of God, and God don't make junk. The whole purpose of his creation, the object of God's providence is, look at this, the root of character. So notice, if I'm walking in the fear of the Lord, I'm not religious, I'm not critical, and I'm not judgmental. If I'm walking in the fear of the Lord, it's affecting my character. If I'm walking in the fear of the Lord, I'm not playing games with God, playing games with church, that it's affecting my character. And my character is connected to how close I can get to God. Now, here's what I know. The closer you get to God, the better mental health you have. The closer you get to God, the better marriage you'll have, the better family you'll have. The closer you get to God, the more peace you'll have, tranquility you'll have, the closer you get to God. And my character is connected to my closeness to God, because God won't tolerate sin in his presence. Am I right? So the fear of the Lord is not religious, it's not critical, it's not judgmental. If I'm walking in the fear of the Lord, then it changes, number one, my attitude. And number two, my behavior or my action. You know, I can look at your action today and know your attitude as I'm teaching. It's called read the audience, body language. You see, my attitude is revealed through my action. So if I'm sitting back like this and looking at Pastor today, then that action tells me your attitude, you don't want to be here. But if you got your Bible and you're taking notes and you're leaning forward and you're listening and not scrolling on your phone or looking up at the ceiling, then I know you got the right attitude. So the fear of the Lord affects my attitude, number two, my actions, and number three, my speech. I won't act like the world. I won't talk like the world. I won't respond like the world. Amen. The world doesn't give a hoot about the fear of the Lord. The Bible says that God is not even in their thoughts. They think you're crazy for coming out and bringing your family to church today. Okay? This does not interest them at all, the fear of the Lord. But notice that the fear of the Lord, it affects our character. And what God blesses is not the color of our skin. God blesses the character of the person. Amen, somebody? So notice the root of character, the foundation of happiness. So notice that if I'm walking in the fear of the Lord, it affects my emotions. Not only my attitudes, but my emotions and my feelings. You know, I was the other day going into Smoothie King last Friday. Pastor Kim was riding her horse, going through a horse lesson, so I was by myself. So I said, I'm going to go to Smoothie King. I'm going to get a smoothie. So I go in there, and there's a lady in front of me, and she's got this T-shirt on. And on the front of the t-shirt, in big, huge letters, it says, I'm in therapy. There are more people in therapy today than I've ever seen in my entire lifetime. There are more preachers that you watch on television that if I told you who's going through therapy, it might blow your mind. There are more preachers that I know, peers of mine, going through therapy because of mental torment, anxiety, nervousness, panic attacks. You know them. There are more people than we've ever seen before going through some kind of therapy. Well, I've got good news for you that when we walk in the fear of the Lord, it can bring tranquility and peace to your innermost being. It can affect your happiness. Are you with me, family? It affects all of that. It's so powerful. So what does it look like when we walk in the fear of the Lord? This is what it looks like. Deuteronomy 13:4 on the screen. You shall walk after the Lord your God. The world doesn't care about God. God is not in their thoughts. They think it's a waste of time. And they're definitely not going after the Lord. But remember, I'm talking about the one promise out of the 7,000 that has more benefits in it than any other. That if you want your best life, that you and I will want to know how to walk in the fear of the Lord. To live our very best life. So this is what it looks like. You'll walk after the Lord your God. In other words, he's priority. You're locked in. He comes before your children, your grandchildren, your hobby. He comes before your job, your career, your education. That you're walking after the Lord. You're a God chaser. Can I say that? That you walk after the Lord your God. And look at this. And fear him. That's reverence, respect. And keep. That's obedience. The word of God, scriptures. And obey. Wow. Obey his voice. When you walk in the fear of the Lord, listen very carefully, you begin to hear his voice. And family, if you come here today and you leave and you don't get any revelation knowledge from my teaching, I haven't helped you a bit. You have to have revelation knowledge before you get your breakthrough. Because logic and reasoning that you walked in here with hasn't given you your breakthrough. And what you need for a breakthrough in your health, your happiness, your emotions, your mental torment, your peace of mind, your finances, your job, your career, your teenager, your toddler, you need revelation knowledge. There's no breakthrough without revelation knowledge, okay? And what is that, Pastor? Sitting here listening to me teach God's word, and all of a sudden you say, I got it. I see it. The light just came on. Now I understand it. That's revelation knowledge. Now it's clicked. Now I understand. I see it. The light came on. I got it. I feel it. I've got peace about it. That's revelation knowledge. That's hearing God's voice. Hearing God's voice. Walking in the fear of the Lord, you begin to hear what you need to hear. You begin to hear what no one else is hearing in your set of circumstances. So this is what it looks like to walk in the fear of the Lord, to reverence him, worship him, honor him, obey him, put him first before anything, anybody else. You go after the Lord your God. You fear him. You keep the word. You're a doer of the word. You obey his voice. You hear his voice. And look at this. And you serve him. You serve him. I can't become a disciple without becoming a servant. You serve him on our dream team or our outreaches you just saw, in our community, your neighborhood, your family, and you cleave unto him. That's what the fear of the Lord looks like. It's not negative. It's not being afraid or being angry. It's being in love. It's being in awe. It's giving him all of your devotion and your affection. But you have to, look at the screen, choose it. You have to choose to walk in the fear of the Lord. God won't force it down our throat. God won't make us. You can't force your children to walk in the fear of the Lord. And mom and dad, it's your responsibility to walk in the fear of the Lord before your children. If you don't go to church when they grow up, they won't. If you don't read your Bible when they grow up, they won't. If you don't tithe and aren't generous when they grow up, they won't. If you don't serve in the house of the Lord, when they grow up, they won't. They're going to do exactly what we do as parents. So the best way is to be a role model and an example before them. And we choose the fear of the Lord. We choose the fear of the Lord over the fear of man. We choose the fear of the Lord. You have to choose it. God won't force any of us. So look what the scripture says on the screen, Proverbs 1:29. Because you hated knowledge, and my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you hated knowledge and did not, there's the word, there it is. You did not choose. God won't make us, God won't force us to walk in the fear of the Lord. This one promise out of 7,000 is connected to more benefits than any other. In the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is mentioned 14 times. In the book of Proverbs, if you just want to study the fear of the Lord, study Proverbs, 31 Proverbs, 31 days, a proverb a day. And 14 times, everyone say 14, 14 times the fear of the Lord is mentioned in the book of Proverbs. You say, big deal, Pastor. It is, because 7 is the number for perfection in the Bible. 14 is the double number for spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. You know I'm maturing when I'm walking after the Lord and it's changing my character, it's changing my attitude, it's changing my actions, it's changing my speech, it's changing my priorities, it's changing my perspective, it's changing my outlook. Yeah, but I choose it. God will never force anybody to walk in the fear of the Lord. Because you hated knowledge and you did not choose the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord. If you go on the rest of that chapter, you'll hear about the tragedies that happen to those who don't choose the fear of the Lord. Number two, you learn it. You learn it. Can you say you choose it and you learn it? It's a learning process, the fear of the Lord. Like a lot of us this month, we've been learning about it that we never understood it like we do now. We're getting revelation knowledge. And then you're going to get your breakthrough. But you learn to walk in the fear of the Lord. Look at the screen, Psalm 34:11. Come, you children, listen to me. So when I say to you, stop scrolling on your phone and listen to me, I guess I'm scriptural. Okay, praise the Lord. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you. Oh, we learn it. I will teach you how to revere and worshiply fear the Lord. So you choose it, and then you learn it, and then you walk in it. Now, what are the benefits? Let me give you three. We've been doing this every weekend, but this weekend, again, three benefits. And the first one is this. When you walk in the fear of the Lord, you activate your angel. You activate your angel. At Church on the Rock, we're a Spirit-filled church. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in signs and wonders. We believe in the supernatural. And we believe that this room is full of angels. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not here. You do know, if you know your Bible, that when you were born as a baby, you were assigned a guardian angel, right? To guide, guard, protect, and lead you in God's will for your life. Just because you get older, that angel doesn't lose its assignment. That angel is assigned to you till you die, okay? So angels are all over in the Bible, and walking in the fear of the Lord, you will activate your angel. Look at the screen, Psalm 34, verse 7. Psalm 34, verse 7. Let's just read it from the Passion paraphrase. Look at the screen. The angel of the Lord stooped down to listen as I prayed. Did you know your angel is listening to your prayers? Your angel is listening to your words. Wow. I was listening this week to an old teaching of Kenneth Hagin. And it was an old teaching, and it was 1963. He was talking about 1963. And he said, in 1963, it's just when I began to launch my books and radio program. And he said, I needed wisdom. I needed guidance. And I had people who wanted to invest and help me. This is Kenneth Hagin, 1963. And he said, I had these businessmen that wanted to help me, but I didn't know who to go with. They were going to fund it. They were going to help me. But I didn't want to get the wrong one because I didn't want anybody to control my ministry. So Kenneth Hagin said, I prayed in tongues, in the spirit, for 3 hours. He said, all of a sudden, off to the left, I felt a presence. He said, I looked up, and he said, it was my angel, and he was 9 foot tall. And he said, my angel began to tell me, don't go with this business person. Don't go with that entrepreneur. They're going to use and abuse and want to control your ministry by giving you money. But you go with this one, you go with that one, you go with this one. And then he said his angel disappeared and vanished. You do know they can go from the spiritual to the natural world. Angels. I can tell I'm freaking some of you out. Praise the God. You need to come to church on the rock more often. Okay? This is bottom line kindergarten stuff in the body of Christ. Okay? So he said, I acted on what the angel did, and he said, everything went perfect. I didn't get hurt, abused, or choose the wrong person. Is it scriptural? The angel of the Lord stooped down to listen to me as I prayed. The Bible says in Hebrews that you and I entertain angels unaware, right? All through the Bible, angels ministered to Jesus. An angel in the Old Testament, one angel destroyed 186,000 soldiers, one angel. In the New Testament, we see that one angel, as Cornelius in the book of Acts was praying and worshiping God and reverencing God, which is the fear of the Lord, an angel showed up and gave him direction. Yeah? How about in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul shipwrecked, and he stood up and he said to them, be of good cheer because my angel just spoke to me to tell you, blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah. And so look, the angel of the Lord stooped down to listen as I prayed, encircling me, empowering me, and showing me how to escape the trouble I'm in. God's got a way of escape that you'll never see outside the supernatural. And he said that as I prayed, he was listening, encircling me, empowering me, and showing me how to escape. He will do this for every white person, black person, rich person, poor person, tall person, short person, skinny person, muscular person, who fears the Lord. And family, you being here on the first day of the week, bringing your family to church, sitting here, being taught the Word of God, believing for revelation knowledge, you're fearing the Lord. You're walking in the fear of the Lord. So you're set up for a miracle and a breakthrough. Your angels are listening right now to what are you saying? How are you responding? How are you taking it in? How are you digesting revelation knowledge right now? Your angels are inserted. They're here, whether you know it or not. Well, Pastor, I know Christians that have tragedy, and where was their angel? The Bible says they only guard, they only guide, they only lead when we're in the perfect will of God. So when I get outside God's purpose, in a church on the rock, we lead people to a God is for them, help them discover his purpose for their life. And when I get outside the purpose of God for my life, the will of God, they fold their wings. They can't do anything until I'm walking in obedience to the Word of God and the will of God for my life. And when I do, they're listening. Turn to somebody and tell them, your angels are listening. The Bible says in Hebrews, they're sent forth as ministering spirits to minister to you and to me. So the fear of the Lord will activate your angel. Number two, the fear of the Lord will give you long life. And we're talking long quality life, not ended up in the nursing home when we're in our 70s and 80s. No, long quality life. And I'm going to show you from Scripture. Did you know that there are things you and I can do to shorten our life? And there are things we can do to prolong our life. Oh, but Pastor, what about that Scripture? It's appointed unto man once to die. That's right. You have an appointed time, but you can prolong it or shorten it. Wow. See, I want a long life. I want a long life. When I'm in my 80s, I want to be loving on you, feeding you, leading this ministry on a Sunday. And I'm in my 80s, I want to get on my Harley Davidson on Sunday afternoon. I want to go get a coffee. I don't want you pushing me around in a wheelchair up here. Amen. So the fear of the Lord will give you long life. Look at Proverbs 10:27 on the screen. The reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord prolongs. I would think that means lengthens, right? The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord prolongs one's days, but the years of the wicked will be made short. Do you see prolong and short? Do you see wicked and righteous? Do you see that when you and I begin to put God first before our feelings, our past, our hurts, our offenses, the church, church hurt, this job, that job, divorce, rape, bankruptcy, if we'll put God before all of that, we can prolong our life. We can prolong our life, or we can shorten our life. But if I choose to put God first and serve God, obey God, hear His voice, get revelation knowledge, I can prolong, lengthen the years of my life according to the Scripture. The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord prolongs one's life, but the years of the wicked shall be made short. Look at Proverbs 3 on the screen, family. Am I helping anybody today? I hope you're getting revelation knowledge. My son, forget not the word or my teaching, but let your heart keep or obey my commandments. For length of days and years of a life worth living. How many of you want a life worth living? Suicide is not the answer. Suicide, self-destructive habits are not the answer. A give-up attitude is not a give-in. What is it worth? A mental sickness is not the answer. He said, if you hear my word and you obey the teaching on Sunday morning in June 2025 on this series, he said, you'll lengthen your life and your life will be worth getting up tomorrow morning, living. And look at this, tranquility. What's that? That's peace of mind. I would say that's a cure for mental illness, anxiety, panic attacks, worry, fear, fretting. I would say, look at this, tranquility. What you're doing today, I want to tell you, you're on track. Thank you for six. I'm giving y'all compliments, by the way. I mean, coming here and bringing your family and putting God first, you're prolonging your life. You're activating your angel to bring a breakthrough, to save you, to deliver you, where you have no way in the natural. A way, God will make a way. For length of days and years of a life. You see the screen? This is not blunt. This is Bible. Worth living. And tranquility on the inside and the outside until you are an old dude. Dudas. You see this? Continuing through old age till you die. That means the very last day of your life on this planet, should the Lord not come, and should the Lord not come back, we're all going to end up in a casket. But if I walk in the fear of the Lord, reverence Him, worship Him, honor Him, put Him first, then He says, until my very last day on this earth, wow, it's not going to be sickness and weakness, medication. We're not against that. God uses that, but I don't want it. Nursing home, I'm thankful. We got people who oversee nursing homes in our church. We got a ministry for nursing homes. That's great, but I don't want to live there. I want to my very last day till I die living a life worth living. And look at this. These shall add to you. So I can add to my life or take away from my life. I can shorten my life or I can prolong my life, right? With my priorities, with putting God first and walking in the fear of the Lord. Oh my goodness. And number three, as the team comes, are y'all still with me, family? Are you glad you came today? Number three is it brings wisdom. Walking in the fear of the Lord will bring you wisdom. Now, please listen to me. I want to help you. In James chapter 1, y'all remember where it says, count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of bad stuff? Well, right there in the middle, same context, it says, if any lack wisdom, ask. So what is it saying? You need wisdom to be delivered from your trouble. You need wisdom when you're in trouble. Ask for wisdom. When you're going through a crisis, ask for wisdom. Well, the Bible says when you walk in the fear of the Lord, wisdom is flowing towards you. Oh, my goodness. Wisdom is coming towards you. Look at the screen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools think it's a waste of time. Amazing. The reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning of the principal and choice part of knowledge. It's the starting point of godly wisdom. So that's why I say, well, as we're here worshiping the Lord today, in song, in giving, in the word, in obedience, and being a doer, you should believe God for wisdom before you leave here today. For your teenager, for your college student, for the right person to marry, for your marriage, for your job, for your career, for to get off that medication, to pay off those credit cards. You need wisdom. The fear of the Lord will bring you wisdom. Are you expecting revelation knowledge? Are you expecting to hear His voice? Oh my goodness. You shall understand the fear of the Lord and find revelation knowledge from God. Whoa. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of His mouth comes knowledge. I love this. You'll understand the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord, and you'll find the knowledge, the revelation knowledge. It'll be revealed to you. You're sitting here now, I hope. I got it. Now I see it, Pastor. The light came on. Now I know what to do. Now I know who my enemy is. Now I know what the problem is. Now I got a strategy. I got a plan. Oh, now I got peace. I know it's going to be okay. Now God, the light came on. The switch flipped. I got it. I see it. I understand it. Revelation knowledge. And your whole life changes from the fear of the Lord. But look what it says here. Length of days is in the right hand of what? Wisdom. And in her left hand is riches and honor. Where does that come from? The fear of the Lord. Last verse, her ways, wisdom, will bring you path of peace. I call that mental healing and not mental illness. I call that peace and not panic. I call that God's love, God's care, God's compassion for you and me. Right hand, long life. Left hand, riches and honor. Everybody say, I am walking in the fear of the Lord. I am claiming all of His benefits. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.